Spirit Blade Underground, episode 359. Warning, access restricted. Please submit to DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Audio file encryption processing. Transmission decoded. Begin playback for system file. Spirit Blade Underground, episode 359.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast, a biblical examination and celebration of geekery and geek entertainment, as well as the official podcast of Christian Geek Central, a website and community you can check out at christiangeekcentral.com. I'm Peter Franson from Spirit Blade Productions, producing entertainment and resources to equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks like you and me to live more and more for Christ. For more info and free goodies, check out spiritblade.com. On the show today, I'm going to share a tour of my bookshelf, part one of that tour, and kind of give my commentary on the stuff that you can find there and why I'm into it or why I'm maybe not into it in some case, but it's still somehow on my bookshelf. And then I'm going to talk about geeks and the local church as we get into the next two verses of the book of Hebrews this week. It just seems like a topic that begs to be talked about on a podcast like this one as we arrive there. All right, let's get to it.
Inside Peter's brain.
Someone requested a while back that I give a tour of my bookshelf in my office. I don't think I'm going to have time to talk about the whole thing, but I've set up an egg timer that will give me roughly 10 minutes because it's kind of an old, grumpy egg timer that doesn't work the most awesome. So roughly 10 minutes, and we'll see how far I can get in 10 minutes just talking about kind of what's on my bookshelf and what kind of geeky stuff I'm into, or at least was at one time. All right, so starting up here, well, those are just some scripts for Spirit Blade World of Shadows that are just kind of up there right now. But this is the Sword of Shannara series, or I recently found out it might be actually pronounced Shannara, which I hate. I am going to rebel against that official pronunciation and say Shannara. But this is Terry Brooks. This was the first, like, I guess kind of adult fantasy that I really got into. I first started reading fantasy novels, like, Piers Anthony was a big name for me in the Zamp series of novels. I read those in junior high, but eventually their sense of humor, I kind of outgrew it, and these books were more serious, and I just love these books. And of course, Sword of Shannara, when it came out, and I think maybe still today, is criticized for being basically a ripoff of the Lord of the Rings and that story about these young characters coming of age. They're the only ones that can save the world, and they have to go find a special weapon or go on a special quest to prevent this ancient evil that's going to awaken and destroy the world from doing its thing, so they got to go somewhere and do something special. So, yes, absolutely, it mimics that, and many of the books follow that same formula, but so many fantasy novels do, and his prose is not old and cranky and dusty and... cranky's not the right word, but, like, oh my gosh, I cannot read... I can't read Tolkien, sorry. I just am not sophisticated or smart enough or whatever you might want to say, but it is freaking old and creaky and dusty. So I much prefer modern fantasy. Terry Brooks, awesome. Still haven't read this first book, Legends of Shannara, The Bearers of the Black Staff, but the rest of them on that bookshelf I've read, and there's the series continues over that way. Oh, I guess I might as well talk about Brent Weeks, though. I interviewed Brent Weeks on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. Awesome guy, and I really suspected after reading his books, despite lots of F-bombs and really dark violence and just a dark, nasty world that those books are set in, his themes and his ideas, it was like you could create an annotated version of that that would just be detailing scripture references freaking on every page. And so, with all my suspicions, I emailed the guy who eventually got back to me. He was really hesitant for a while because he just wasn't sure. You know, there's lots of, you know, tough decisions that have to be made when you're publishing in the mainstream to kind of out yourself as a believer, which he eventually did publicly for the first time on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. And so anyway, New York Times bestselling author Brent Weeks, the Night Angel trilogy, the best fantasy I have read to date, or at least the most enjoyable for me. Let's see here. Oh, beyond that, my Breaking Bad Blu-rays. I just discovered that this last summer. Finally got around to watching it. Not a geek series per se, but since they made action figures and stuff, I was like, this must have some geek appeal. And it totally does. It's definitely got that kind of vigilante, kind of like evil Batman vibe to it. But anyway, really enjoy Breaking Bad. As much as you can, I guess, enjoy Breaking Bad. And if you've seen it, you know what I mean. All right, moving on down here, more books. Gail Z. Martin and The Chronicles of the Necromancer. These are interesting books. I was recently trying to read through them a second time and just started to lose interest after the first two books. They do get a little bit too much into kind of court politics and stuff that I'm not at all interested in, but they're dark and supernatural, and you know, they draw a lot from, I would say, kind of like New Age beliefs about spirits and near-death experiences and stuff like that. You know, they draw a lot from that in terms of like how they present the fantasy world. And the main character, his main ability is interacting with dead people and the undead and stuff like that. So there's definitely some broken ideas being presented in there that would be harmful if they're adopted. But I do enjoy, for the most part, her writing style and just kind of this... I'm a fan of dark fantasy. So haven't read these follow-up books. I bought them a while back because I did enjoy the original quadrilogy. There should be four books there. One of them is down still on my nightstand, I think, right now. But haven't gotten around to those two yet. I wanted to try and reread the original quadrilogy first, and now I'm struggling, so I don't know if I'll get around to those two books. All right, over here, oh, my beloved Farscape. These are actually the DVDs. My favorite TV series of all time. I'm watching it on Blu-ray for the first time right now and talking about each episode as I finish it up on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. Let's see here. What can I say that I haven't already said and won't already say at the end of each episode of the podcast? So you can stay tuned for that if you want to. Awesome, awesome show. They are working on a continuation of this series that's going to involve some of the main characters from the series. I can't give I don't want to give spoilers by potentially talking more details, but it is in development right now. I'm so excited for that. All right. Terry Goodkind. This, until I discovered Brent Weeks, was my go-to ultimate fantasy author. Really, he writes dark, serious, intense fantasy. And he also deals with truth a lot. And the idea of, you know, he has a lot of ideas in there that I think are really healthy ideas about, you know, being objective and seeking out truth regardless of feelings and what you might fear to be true or what you might want to be true. So many great ideas, but they do eventually fall apart. And I don't even think the author realizes it. He subscribes to a philosophy called objectivism, which despite its name, it really... it has no ultimate foundation. Anyway, I won't get into all that right now, but it is an interesting philosophy to just kind of pick apart, because on the surface it has many great values, but the basis for those values is substanceless. It's really interesting. It's just kind of ultimately something that is believed and subscribed to for this because you want to believe it and you want to subscribe to it. Very interesting and a little self-contradictory, but in many ways has some great things to say. But that's the philosophy. You don't have to be interested or, you know, have any feelings one way or the other about the philosophy to enjoy these books. I think they're really, if you like dark, disturbing sometimes fantasy where characters are put through the freaking ringer and you're just agonizing for their situation, a great series for you. So that continues on down there. Many, many books in that series. So if you really like a multi-part series, the Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind is definitely worth checking out. Speaking of swords, I'm a big fan of The Highlander, both the movies and the TV series. So this is my collection of the TV series on DVD. And that is actually when I'm done with Farscape, I probably won't do a Farscape shawarma for it, or a Highlander shawarma, but I think I might start making my way through the Highlander series again when I'm done with Farscape, because I really do enjoy it, even with some of its 90s cheesiness. I just love all those quickenings. They're just, Adrian Paul freaking just knows how to get zapped. So, let's see, below that, my collection of the Bruce Timm animated series of DC stuff. Fantastic era of television. Oh my gosh, wonderful stuff. I still haven't collected all the Batman Beyond. I wasn't really a big fan of it at the time, but I'm kind of opening my heart to it, so I might get around to it eventually. I do have the Batman Beyond movie there, just because it kind of creates a nice cap for some of the plot threads of the original Batman animated series. And then you'll see one of the DVDs is missing. It's downstairs right now because my boys still like to watch it, but that's the revamp of the He-Man, Matt, and the Masters of the Universe animated series. This came out in the early 2000s and is great. I mean, awesome animation and I think, you know, action that even adults can enjoy. It definitely does have more kid appeal probably than adult appeal, but I just love their treatment of, if you just like, you know, that kind of like sword and sorcery fantasy, and then you want like technology thrown in just to make things interesting, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe is definitely an animated series worth checking out. Not the original 80s one, but this one produced in the early 2000s. It didn't last long, only like 1.5 seasons or something like that, but I think definitely worth checking out. Okay, moving on down here, let's do some more books. The Fiona McIntosh books, especially this first trilogy, the Quickening trilogy with Mirren's Gift. Man, there's lots of like body swapping. I can't really describe it any other way. And it's been long enough now that I could probably stand to read it again. But again, if you like kind of serious, sometimes dark fantasy, that's a series I would, and character driven. All of my fantasy series that I read, I really demand that they be character driven. And by that I mean, don't tell me what's happening as much as tell me how people feel about what's happening. I want to experience and sympathize with their terror, their hopes, their dreams, their nightmares. You know, I want to be feeling with the characters. I don't want to know every detail of the buttons on their clothes and every doorknob that they touch and how the flowers all smell. And I don't need to know every freaking detail about every panel of wood that exists in this castle. Let's see here. Oh, also, this is a bit of a shame, but James Clemens, this is a really interesting and, again, a pretty serious, dark series. And he just he isn't really writing anymore, which is a shame, because this little 5-book series I really enjoy for some of the same reasons that I enjoy my other fantasy series. Okay, moving on over here. We've got the original Superman serials from, what do you call it? I can't remember, like 1930s, I think. And those are still pretty watchable. I it's not something I pull out all the time, but I mean, like, if I'm ever having like a special Superman day or something like that, that's something that I would pull out for fun. Let's see. Oh, Condor Man. Yes, Condor Man. Awesome childhood movie experience. The first superhero movie that I really loved and could just watch endlessly. I used to be able to quote that entire movie. And then we got an interesting DVD about just kind of the adventures in voice acting, and that I thought was kind of interesting. Just kind of gives you behind the scenes look at what that career is like, and you know, how it's, you know, not all that glamorous and pays like crap, but it's still an interesting kind of career to be in. Not many people can make a actual career out of it. They're usually supplementing with something else, either other acting jobs or just other work of some kind. But that's a neat one. If you're into just the behind the scenes of video games and anime, that's an interesting DVD, Adventures in Voice Acting. And then I've got the first 3 seasons of the Incredible Hulk series, which I came back to when I realized that Bill Bixby is just a phenomenal actor. It was. And, tragically died of cancer years after making this series. But he was way ahead of his time. This show, in some ways, was way ahead of its time in terms of the acting that he brought, the quality and the subtlety of acting that he brought to the character of David Bruce Banner in that series. Makes it still very, very watchable today. Then we got the Flash 1990s TV series, which is being called back to quite a bit in the current Flash TV series. And this one is also pretty still watchable. I would say probably after watching, it won't be watchable for much longer with the new Flash series and the effects being so much better and it not having the same cheesiness. Oh crap, there's my timer, as the 90s series. But still in many ways watchable, and definitely kind of echoes some of the dark sensibilities of superheroes that were ushered in by the original Tim Burton Batman movies. And then lastly, Daredevil Director's Cut. Not a super great movie. I'm not going to say that I love it, but I will say that the Director's Cut is tons better than the original cut. And if you like Daredevil and you've never tried out the director's cut of Daredevil, it's definitely worth a try. Okay, we're out of time. So, man, more books, like music and books and books and books and books. And then we got all kinds of, like, video games and role-playing games and more nerd hobby books and board games and, oh, man, tons of stuff. I'll have to try and cover it another time. Bye-bye.
I want to remind you guys to check out the other podcasts in the Christian Geek Central Network, such as the Strangers and Aliens podcast, the Theology Gaming podcast, and the Untold podcast. For more info about the CGC Network, visit ChristianGeekCentral.com.
The truth will set you free.
Truth is that which corresponds to fact or reality. To assert that truth is not absolute is a self-defeating proposition. And lots of things are possible, but our beliefs should reflect the best explanation of the available evidence. I'm no expert, but the information is out there. You'd be amazed what you can learn if you spend some time in search of truth.
The truth will set you free.
Recently on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast, it's a podcast I've been hosting for, I don't know, since like 2007, so for a while now. But each week we go through a portion of a book of the Bible, just kind of making our way through, exploring and trying to see what's there and get at the heart of, hopefully try to get at the heart of the text so we can maybe see and apply some of what God has for us in those words today. And we've been going through the book of Hebrews lately, and I've arrived at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And I decided I would want to make a video out of this, just because I think even, like, mostly what I'm going to be sharing is not a dissecting these verses. So if you're interested in kind of the context, that you can check out the podcast at spiritblade.com/podcast. But anyway, this what I think these verses almost kind of demand thinking about, and what I want to talk about right now is geeks and the local church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 from the ESV says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And just as a quick aside, the day is often the term that's used throughout Scripture to refer to the eventual day when Jesus will basically judge the earth and just launch into the process of fixing the mess we've made of things. So I won't go into an exploration of that, really, but just in case that was kind of an elephant in the room. But what I want to talk about is the bulk of those, the other parts of those two verses. In light of the eternal perspective provided in verses 19 to 23 before this, and I'll let you look at the context for that, but it's just basically about the kind of freedom and access we have to God now because of what Jesus has done, the forgiveness, the new sense of identity that we have because of the infinite worth of the sacrifice of Jesus. So in light of that, the author of Hebrews is describing now what our response should be, how we should approach everyday life. We should be brainstorming and creatively thinking of ways to get each other interested and excited about investing in relationships, serving God, and moving deeper into relationship with Him. And those are kind of churchy phrases. So part of that, I think, should involve talking about what it means to do those things in everyday life. Let's just dissect those a little bit and also talk about ways we can then engage in those things further. Now, I play a major role in running and developing Christian Geek Central, so obviously I believe that online communities can be useful to this end. But meeting together in person, in Christian community, is something we should not be neglecting. I know there are tons of arguments that could be made for the benefits of online churches and Christian communities. You could argue that the internet didn't exist when the New Testament was written, and that surely we can apply and obey this command through our online interactions. But I'd like to argue that
while online interactions can involve loving and encouraging other believers, God's desire as expressed in Scripture, which is really the ultimate guide that we have to go off of, not our feelings, not what we're comfortable with, but Scripture, that is how God has expressly revealed himself to us. And his desire expressed in Scripture is that we'd be developing relationships with other believers in a local church community. If the author of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, didn't think physical proximity was a key element, he could have simply written, "Let us not neglect encouraging one another," but he specifically singled out meeting together as the vehicle for encouraging one another. Consider that the love of Jesus modeled in the Bible involved constantly spending time in close proximity to others. He sat and talked with people. He ate meals with people. He mourned with people. He was just in the trenches of life with people. And he also didn't limit his friendships to those who shared common interests with him, as we geeks so often do. I know certainly that is like my default. I, you know, have trouble relating to and hanging out with people that don't share common interests with me. I mean, I can do small talk for a little while, but that's pretty hard, you know. I like to get into geeky stuff that's fun, but Jesus didn't limit himself in that way. He spent time with people that were very different from himself, from all walks of life, many of which were probably difficult to be with because of their pride or other dysfunctions of sin, which is what often makes it difficult for us geeks to hang out with quote-unquote normal people. You know, they don't get us. They seem just kind of refined and put together, and you know, or they maybe kind of raise an eyebrow at us once in a while. You know, there's just things because of sin that make it difficult for us geeks to hang out with people that are different from us. Relationships are messier AFK, which means away from keyboard. Online, we have a great deal of control over how we are perceived and when our conversations with others begin and end. AFK, we much more often say stupid, awkward things and make fools of ourselves. First impressions are unfortunately based on appearances instead of words or an eye-catching avatar. Conversations go on longer than we want them to, or cover topics that we don't want to get into. Thoughtless words more often escape our mouths, and conflict and stress abound, AFK. Online relationships, though, will always be limited compared to AFK relationships. AFK relationships have far more potential depth, and love can be exercised in a greater variety of ways. AFK, we have handshakes, one-arm hugs, filled gaming tables, laughter that goes beyond high def or frame rates from the best webcams. We have the kind of unspoken acceptance and affection that can only be expressed through direct eye contact and a subtle smile. AFK, we have held hands or arms around shoulders as we pray. AFK, we give each other rides when the car is broken or drop off a meal for someone in a difficult situation. AFK, we have couch co-op or borrowed books. We open our homes and get out the guest towels or the nice candles. We experience the tastes of special meals and desserts together. We just plain get to know each other much faster and deeper than we ever could if we only met on forums or Google Hangouts. You think about some of the relationships that maybe you've heard about over the years that began online. Well, the natural culmination of those relationships is wanting to get together, you know, geek conventions and stuff. We're not content to have geek conventions strictly online. That's not the ideal scenario. The ideal scenario is being together physically in a place. Some of you guys in the Christian Geek Central community, I've known for years and wish so much that we lived in the same town. I've expressed that to some of you. And maybe you felt that too with someone that you know online. We feel that because we know, even though we fight it, I certainly fight it, we know that relationships are only experienced in their fullness when we are physically with each other. I think the Apostle Paul knew this too. And I don't believe he would have changed his words a bit, even if they'd been written today. In Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 12 in the ESV, he writes, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm good at AFK non-geek friendships. I think I only have one friend that I meet with regularly who isn't a hardcore geek. But for years, my wife and I were part of a small Bible study group of couples that met in each other's homes. And we shared life together in that group in a way I'll never forget. And, you know, we didn't have much in common outside of a desire to know Jesus and his word better. Sometimes in that group, there were people that I would never be around for any other reason that I can possibly fathom, except for scripture and a desire to know Jesus and his word better, because we just didn't have anything in common. We didn't have much at all to talk about. Now, over time, we discovered things that we could talk about that were aside from and deeper than small talk. But at the outset, it was like, I have nothing in common with these people. They couldn't possibly understand me. I couldn't possibly understand them. But just going through that process of reading the Bible together, a chapter a week, and talking about it, and then praying for each other. A very simple thing. And we just experienced life together. We supported each other. Sometimes we disagreed with each other and worked through that. We just got into life and had real relationships together, which I think often we geeks neglect in favor of surfacey relationships that are purely based on common interests or geek stuff, and we never go deeper than that. Now, since then, we've all gotten involved in other ministries that, and that original group has dissolved, but I still see them frequently at church, and I could sit down at the drop of a hat and get right back into the level of depth and life sharing that we've had before. There's one guy in that group that, you know, we have, well, very sporadically, Pete, we got to get together. We both keep saying that. And we'll get together and have lunch, and we'll just get right back into it, just talking about, you know, life, and like no time has passed. You know, there's just something that that is really gained from spending time in the Word and in prayer with each other. Those years praying and studying the Bible, it just created a bond that's still intact. And over the years in my church, I've had different groups of people that I've connected with for different seasons. And although today I don't regularly see many of them or spend time with many of them one-on-one, I see them almost every week coming in and out of church services. We exchange hellos, quick pats on the back. And, you know, you might think that these things are, you know, like these superficial little gestures, but they are grown out of an established relationship. And so they aren't superficial. They mean something. When I see one of those people and I say hello to them, and when they say hello to me, it reminds me that I'm thought of, that I'm cared for, that I'm valued. Anyone feel like singing the Cheers theme song right now? Now, maybe you're involved in your church. Maybe you're very involved in your church. But being involved isn't the same as experiencing relationship in a local church community. They are different things. They often do come together, but they are different things. And if we aren't experiencing deepening relationships in a local church community, then we're missing out on and maybe even neglecting God's vision for us. Because there is a role, I say neglecting because there is a role that we play. Sometimes there's just stuff about the church community that causes that to happen. And a lot of times there's just stuff that we're not willing to do in order to experience that kind of community and deepening relationships. So I guess here's what I want to put on the table for you to consider. If you aren't currently part of a local Bible-focused church, I want to urge you to just book time on your calendar to search for one. I mean, literally book it on your calendar, whatever you use to remember things, schedule yourself, because if you don't do that, it won't happen. But book time to search for a Bible-focused church until you find one. And if you're part of a local church but aren't experiencing deepening relationship there, then I want to urge you to be an agent of change in that church for yourself and for others around you. Consider asking a few people if they'd like to just get together once a week, just a simple get-together, maybe once a week or every other week, to talk about a chapter of the Bible. Together, you guys can pick a book and just read one chapter for every time that you meet, and then get together, talk about it, talk about what you see in there, ask questions like,
What was the author trying to communicate to his original audience, and what can we apply to our lives based on that today? Just some really simple observations and questions, and can go a long way toward getting into the Word together, learning from each other, and just experiencing and developing relationships with each other. So yeah, consider asking a few people if they would want to get together once a week or every other week to talk about a chapter of the Bible and pray for each other. And only as a last resort, because I do not want to be an advocate of church shopping, you know, or when people get upset about something, leaving their church. Because I think the vast majority of the times, you ought to be working through difficulties you're having with your church, with the leadership, and doing everything you can to improve that church culture and, you know, the church community by staying there and being a part of it. But there are situations where that just isn't going to be possible. And so I would say, as a last resort, if you're at a church where just kind of these down-to-earth, humble, and transparent relationships are not enabled by the leadership, and if you don't have any leaders that you feel like you can really open up to or get help from to change that about the church's culture, then again, book time, I think, in your schedule to find another church community. Because in a situation like that, no matter what else you might be getting from attending that church, you can't really love others and be loved in that kind of community. And it probably isn't a church that's focused enough on the Bible anyway, if authentic relationships and community are that low a priority that the leadership isn't even interested in developing that further, or, you know, maybe only giving lip service to wanting to develop that further, and not helping you to bring that about, you know. I don't think we should expect our leaders to make this happen, because we are the church, okay? Their primary role is to facilitate our involvement in building the church and making the church, local church community, what it is. But I mean, if they're not really committed to helping you do that and be an agent of change, that's not a good sign, I don't think. So anyway, I struggle with this. I'm not sharing all this because, like, well, these are lessons I've learned, and, you know, I've got this figured out, and in hindsight, I'll just share my wisdom with you. This is truth that I recognize from Scripture, and I can't deny it. But it's very difficult for me to apply. Relationships are very draining to me, and I would just love to be a hermit Christian much of the time. But just like everyone, I need to be loved, and I need to love others. And the local church community is God's primary instrument for that.
Feedback! Give me your thoughts on this podcast. I want them. Or your thoughts on Christian Geek Central, or the YouTube channel, or anything else we're doing. What should we keep? What should we change? What's on your mind that you'd like a potentially uninformed opinion on? We want to make this show and all of Christian Geek Central as fun and useful as we can, but we have to hear from you to do that. You can send me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net. As a reminder, I'm off-grid until April 28th, just working really hard on Spirit Blade, A World of Shadows, to hit that October release date if I can, so I'm not checking my email. I may be bopping into the forums. Did I say bopping? Does that make any sense at all to say that right there? I don't think it does. I might be stopping, popping? Popping is probably better. Popping into the forums as I'm able, but it won't be a reliable way to get in touch with me. But the moderators there have my number, so they can get in touch with me if you'd like to do that for you for some reason. As another reminder, I'm interested in getting some help just kind of setting up and copying and pasting content over to a new Summer of Free blog. It's not long-term help that I need with it, just someone to help do some copying and pasting, really kind of simple stuff, so we can get the Summer of Free its own home. I'd like to get that set up before we launch the Summer of Free for 2015, which I plan to do at the end of May, but that's coming, and I'd love to get like a much easier way for people to year-round access the content that we've collected over the years for the Summer of Free. So if you're interested in helping me with that, please email me at paeter@spiritblade.net. Also, if you enjoyed the Bloodborne trial and error video on the YouTube channel last week, and you want more, that video was only about 25 minutes long, but the actual uncut version of that is 90 minutes of me hanging out with these guys and just talking about the game and pop culture, and there's little bits of gameplay and fun stuff that happened in the game. I just wasn't able to fit into that 25-minute video. I really wanted to keep it as close to 20 minutes as possible, so it already went longer than I wanted to. But if you're interested in just kind of sitting down and experiencing being a fly on the wall as we kind of hang out, talk pop culture, and have fun getting killed in Bloodborne, the uncut version of that video you should be able to find now at youtube.com/ChristianGeekCentral. And I hope while you're there, you'll check out some other videos or like, share, or subscribe to help kind of grow our audience to that channel. I think there's a ton of people that would enjoy the kind of content that I'm producing and that you guys are helping me to produce at Christian Geek Central and on this podcast and on the website that maybe wouldn't normally engage with the podcast or necessarily find the forums, but they're on YouTube. So I'd love to get your help in just kind of expanding the reach of who we can get invited into this community. So like, sharing, and subscribing to any of those videos would be a big help. Also, I want your voice and your interest to be a part of this podcast in Christian Geek Central. It is certainly not my intention to be just this one guy blabbing blah 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 blah, and all we hear about is the stuff that I'm interested in and the thoughts that I have. Whether you have an idea for a segment already or just want to be a part of the fun, we want to find a way to plug you in and let your voice be heard here. It's also a great way to promote what you're doing if you'd like. So for more info, please email me at paeter@spiritblade.net. Well, that's all for this week. Stay tuned for Farscape Shawarma after the credits, or jump back to episode 310 if you want to start from the beginning. Next week, if God wants it to happen, I'm going to be sharing part two of my bookshelf tour, and then also I'm going to do something a little bit different in the In Search of Truth segment next week and just kind of walk through a psalm. I've been for about the last 6 months or so slowly making my way through the Psalms, and this will be a little bit different in that it's not going to be necessarily like an in-depth study of the psalm, but it'll just kind of take you through what I kind of do, the thought process I have as I'm a little bit more casually reading a portion of the Bible and just kind of drawing some application from it to my particular wiring as a geek, and just kind of my interests and my patterns, both the positive and negative patterns in my life. And I'm going to share specifically a psalm with you that I kind of earmarked in my Bible. I was like, you know, this one speaks to me specifically how I'm wired as a geek. Because I think there are certain just kind of personality traits that we as geeks have. Setting aside our particular interests, just some personality traits that happen to be common to a lot of geeks. And I felt like this psalm was like, wow, this is like a psalm for geeks. It's certainly a psalm for me. So I'm going to share that and my thoughts on it with you next week in the In Search of Truth segment. Till then, check out SpiritBlade.com and Christian Geek Central for more stuff that's made just for you. Thank you so much for making time for this show. I hope you have a great week and that you'll join me next time here on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast as we continue to geek out and seek the truth.
The Spirit Blade Underground is a community-supported endeavor of Spirit Blade Productions. This podcast is produced by Peter Frenson with support from the Christian Geek Central community at ChristianGeekCentral.com. For information about the latest entertainment and resources from Spirit Blade Productions, visit SpiritBlade.net. Thank you for listening.
Prepare for immediate starburst.
All right, just finished up episode 305 of season 3 of Farscape, Different Destinations. And let's go ahead and get that phrase out of the way right away. Well, first off, in this episode, if you can't remember, is the one right after Zan has died. The crew, I guess we'll call them, it's such a weird... I guess when I think of crew, I think of like, like military or space, you know, like Star Trek and stuff, but these guys are anything but that. But anyway, the ensemble finds themselves on a memorial site on a planet of some tragedy that happened hundreds of years before, involving like this attacking horde that was defended by... You know, a small group of peacekeepers. Oh, no, excuse me. The horde was attacking these nurses, these women and children. And that were, I can't remember, it was some big kind of tragedy, and there's this peacekeeper hero, you know, that Erin learned about when she was a child and stuff. And, well, anyway, there's some kind of rift, and half of the crew goes back in time, and they kind of are mixing up events and stuff like that. You know, they get things off the rails, then they try to fix it, and then they finally come back, only to realize at the very end of the episode that they didn't fix it at all, that that the... Actually, I think originally the nurses were saved. Yeah, that's right. In the original timeline, the nurses were saved by the sacrifice of this one peacekeeper. And by the time, you know, Moya's crew was done, the nurses were killed. So they left things worse than they found them at the end of the episode. And especially it was laying heavy on Crichton as the nurse in the hollow simulated recording of the events screamed out, Crichton, you know, where are you? You know, you said we'd be safe or whatever, you know. So this is a very Far Trek-y episode. It's kind of one-off. I mean, in terms of the continuity of the whole show, you could skip this episode. But I was reminded again that this one's worth watching. Especially for the ending. I forgot how intense and dark the ending is. But first I want to comment on the title, Different Destinations, which comes from a line of dialogue with Stark and another character, one of the nurses who asks if when she dies she'll be with her daughter, you know, and Stark's response to that as the representation of what is real and death and spirituality and stuff like that in the world of Farscapes is different beliefs, different destinations. So once again, you know, relativism is alive and well. That or, you know, if we're not calling it relativism, because relativism would say, okay, so whatever you believe, that's your reality after you die. That's not necessarily relativism. If it is relativism unless you... unless you're saying that, like, parts of all of these different belief systems are wrong, and the parts that are wrong are the ones that would contradict each other, you know, but everyone still gets funneled to the afterlife of their choice, you know. But, I mean, it's close enough to relativism, you know. It's very, very PC, you know. Interesting. I mean, you know, of course, I wish they would do something different. I wish they would have been a little bit more subversive, as Farscape tends to be, but I think that's just a little too subversive. That's subversive in the wrong way. you have to do that on a TV show like this. You have to do that because your whole success is based on ratings, based on the largest number of people watching your show and feeling good about it. And people would just not watch a show that was, like, totally slamming their most cherished beliefs and values and stuff like that, you know. I would certainly have a tough time watching a show like that, you know. So I would rather they just not comment on it at all, you know, because this is certainly a little off-putting to me. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, I've seen it enough and, you know, represented in enough different forms of fiction that I enjoy that I just kind of, like, sigh and, you know, roll with the punch and just recognize that idea is out there, you know, and as believers, that's kind of, you know, what we have to acknowledge and figure out how we're going to respond to. Anyway, back to the episode. Let's see. I don't know. There might not be a whole lot for me to say about this because I didn't find it to be like this great episode. But when it first started, I was like, oh, is this one of those Far Trek-y ones that like I really don't like? And I was like, I didn't think there was any that I really just didn't like from this point on in the series. And, you know, it didn't take more than about 20 minutes for me to remember why this doesn't fall into the camp of, you know, some of those Far Trek-y episodes from the first 1.5 seasons or so that I really didn't like. It's just, you know, it's darker, so I appreciate that. Even before the ending, you know, it's just darker, more serious. It's a story about war. It's a story about innocents that are being killed in war, you know. But I do want to say, and I won't say much more than this, because there's not a ton in this episode for me to, you know, that I feel like commenting on. But the ending, and if you watch the commentary for this episode, I think they even, you know, bring this up. But this is like... so subversive when you consider like the tropes of Star Trek. I mean, what does the crew of the Enterprise and pick your series, Voyager, even Deep Space Nine, or well, I don't know. I'm not as confident about Deep Space Nine. I can't remember that, but that was a much more conflicted and messy show than the other Star Treks. So I won't add that in. But like, you know, I'm pretty confident about Voyager, and then original series and Star Trek. What was the pattern that we probably always saw? Maybe there's some exception I can't think of. You know, the crew of the ship comes to a new planet, they interact with an alien race, and they leave them better than they found them most times. Or at the very least, they leave them and they having fixed whatever problems they introduced. And in Farscape, they leave and it's worse. These guys are flying around the universe making life hell for other people. Oh, man. And I don't, you know, I'm laughing just in just kind of like the, it's not because I find it funny when I'm watching it. Actually, it's just kind of, I don't know if it's nervous laughter or whatever. It's just the logical absurdity of it, maybe, or not logical, but the absurdity of it in comparison to what we're used to and what we think of as shows that are about heroes. And, you know, it's just so unexpected and crazy, and that's one of the reasons I love Farscape. But no, the end of this episode left me anything but laughing. I mean, I forgot that the nurse and her little girl, you know, just were screaming out Crichton's name at the end before this horde just brutalized them, you know. And for Crichton to be then having to live with that it was his plan, you know, the rest of the team, you know, they agreed to it more or less. But it was his idea to go at that point to do... I mean, yeah. So that's really heavy stuff. Anyway, what do we got coming up next time? 6? I can't remember my numbers. But the episode title... Oh, man, yeah. Eat Me. Okay. Let's look forward to that one.